Brother Frank Thacker is going to come from Ramseur, North Carolina, and he's a dear friend, loves the Lord, and thank God for he and Miss Brenda being here this week, and heaven got sweeter for them a few weeks ago, and their son went home to be with the Lord, 34 years old, Brother Frank, is that right? Be careful there. Amen. Let's make welcome Brother Frank Thacker as he comes to preach the first message.
It's always a joy to come to Benson Grove. It is something that we look forward to every year. And as we've already said, it's an oasis. It is refreshing. And I'm just thankful to be a part, just to have a little part here. And thank God for the good singing and all the messages they have ministered to my heart. And so good to see many of our friends and like Brother David sitting behind me. We don't live very far from each other, but it seems like it takes us a year to see one another again. But it's good to see all of those folks. Turn with me, please, tonight to the book of Job, chapter number 29. Brother Billy, thank you again. I appreciate Brother Billy called last week, and we was preaching in a meeting Friday night in Greensboro, and I didn't get his message till late. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak here tonight. Job chapter 29. I like reading about Job. I can identify with Job. Some of you can tonight. Job here in chapter 29 is in the midst of his suffering. Here in chapter 29, he begins to think back. He begins to reminisce a little bit about some of the gooder days, the better days. Let's pick up reading in verse number 1. And the Bible said, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, Oh, that I were as in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, when his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter and rock poured out me rivers of oil, when I went out of the gate and through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street. The young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princesses refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue clave to the roof of the mount. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. When the eye saw me, they gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. And my judgment was a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet I was to the lame. And I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I stretched out. And I brake the jaws of the wicked, and plucked the spoil of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand." Would you pray with me, please? Father, I thank you tonight, dear Jesus. Thank you, God, for your mercy, your grace. Lord, we thank you tonight that we can assemble ourselves here and hear the good praises of the name of Jesus. Thank you for that day you passed by us. You lifted us up and set our feet on a solid rock and established our going, put a new song in our mouth and even praise unto our God. And I pray now that you'd help us tonight, dear God, that you'd unctionize us with thy spirit. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do this evening. We praise you in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake we ask it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Job is in the midst of his troubles. You read your Bible, you know that Job was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. There came a day that there was a conversation between God and Satan. By the way, that conversation took place in heaven. Job didn't know about that conversation. That conversation centered around Job. And all of a sudden, I could almost see in my mind's eyes, Job gets up one morning and his wife and he sat down perhaps. And as they maybe had a cup of coffee, I don't know, but as they sat at the table that morning, all of a sudden the news started flooding in. All of a sudden the servants came running in, and bad news after bad news all of a sudden began to flood his life. He lost all that he had, his material blessings. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He had sores from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. His wife looked at him and said, "Job, you're a miserable-looking wretch. Why don't you just curse God and die?" He said, "Woman, you're talked like a foolish woman. God's been nothing good but to us. God's blessed us." And he said, "Though the skin worms may destroy this body, I know one thing, that my Redeemer liveth. One day I shall stand on that shore. One day I shall see him." But then I find, as Job in chapter 29 begins to reminisce a little bit. Go with me, if you would, please. Look at these verses just a few minutes tonight for the background. Job said there in verse number 11 and 12, and he said, "There I began to think about the former days. I began to think about those days and when I was perhaps sitting in the gate of the city and folks would come in and I would welcome them and they would welcome me. And the young men," he said, they hushed their mouth and they respected me. Then he goes on to talk about that I was the eyes to the blind, as those that could not see. I believe I could almost imagine Job would help that blinded man as he could not see his way and pick him up and carry him where he needed to be. And he said, "I was the legs to the lame man." And he said, "I was in the business of trying to help people." Then he goes on to talk about something here in chapter 29. And if you read your Bible, it just seems like it doesn't make good sense. I'm sorry, but it just don't seem like it fits. And you notice something there in chapter 29, in verse number 6. Job said, "I washed my steps with butter." Now that sounds like a strange statement. You would think, Brother Doug, that why in the world would you want to wash your steps with butter? I mean, the first thing you think about is he's got a big old stick of butter out somewhere and he's just mopping his steps as he's going in his house. And you'd say to yourself, that really don't make good sense. Why would you want to mop your steps with butter? But that's not what he's talking about. Brother Eric, I had to figure out this, and I had to go to somebody a little bit smarter and a whole lot smarter. And I read about a man by the name of John Gill, what he had to say about this verse. And he said about this man, Job, Brother Billy, that God had blessed him so much and God had multiplied everything that he had, that his cattle gave such tremendous amounts of milk that as the servants would carry the milk pails and go from out in the pasture back into the barn, as they would carry those buckets of milk, Brother Eric, that milk would slosh and fill up those crevices and those holes in the dry ground. And so as Job would perhaps walk out through the fields, all of a sudden he, instead of stepping in mud puddles, he'd step in milk puddles. And you know, as if you're growing up in the country, as you churn that milk and as you press that milk down, that milk becomes what, Brother Eric? Good old butter. And beloved, I can almost imagine as Job is walking through some of those milk puddles, he begins to reminisce about the goodness of God. He begins to think about the former things. He begins to think about how God's blessed him. And I believe, brother, that he just starts having a hallelujah fit. I believe he starts tramping in them milk puddles. Every time that he tramples in one of those milk puddles, his feet gets a little bit firmer. And as he goes down through there, Brother Doug, all of a sudden that milk begins to curdle a little bit. And that milk begins to turn into butter a little bit. And he says, "Thank God, I have been blessed of the Lord. I have multitudes of blessings. As all the troubles that may come, all the hard times that may come, all the suffering that may come, one thing I can say is God has been good to this boy. God has been good to you. God has blessed you abundantly. God has met your need in the hard times, in the good times, when you're up, when you're down. We serve a God tonight that is nothing but good to us." Somebody say amen. Amen. And I believe tonight, if we could, just for just a little bit tonight, think about some of those milk puddles that old Job marched through that night. Number one tonight, I've been blessed tonight, my friend, by a God that is compassionate. I have a compassionate Christ tonight. I'm thankful tonight that the God in which I serve, I don't have to do something in order to be pleased of Him. I'm glad He loves me regardless of either when I'm up or when I'm down. He loves me when I'm good. He loves me when I'm bad. He loves me in the good times. He loves me in the bad times. He loves me, my friend. Can I say that I serve a Christ tonight that loves me regardless tonight of whatever I've done, wherever you've been, how low you've ever gotten, what sin you've ever done. He still loves me tonight. I read, my friend, about a man by the name of George Matheson. I read about George Matheson, and they tell me that George Matheson was going to get married. And so back in those days, his fiancée, they went to the doctor to have that examination. George Matheson, he went to his doctor. His doctor examined him and said, "George, you're going blind. 6 months' time, you'll be a blind man." He said, "I think you need to tell your prospective wife before long that you'll be blind. She'll need to lead you around. She'll need to care for you." George Matheson went back to his fiancée and told her, said, "Honey, I've got something to tell you. I've been to the doctor and he says I'm going blind. In 6 months, I'll be a blind man." She said, "Blind? I don't want to marry no blind man." And she broke off that engagement, wouldn't marry him. George Matheson, in his despondency, in his lowest part of his life, sat down and wrote the song, "Oh Love That Will Not Let Me Go." Thank God tonight we have a Christ that loves us regardless. He really loves us, my friend. No matter where you've been, what you've done, no matter what sin you've got in your life, Jesus loves you tonight. Number two, I've been blessed with the celestial city that I'm headed to. Everything down here is passing away. Everything down here is temporal. They sang the song, someone sang it the other night. Oh, listen, we're only a passing through this land. Then nothing is permanent down here. Nothing, your house, your car, your money is all going to pass away. Everything you've got is temporal. Everything you have is temporary. Yet, my friend, we're headed to a celestial city of God. Job said this, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." I'm glad to tell you tonight, even though you may be going through a tough time, even though it may be a hard time, even though you may be going through some trials in your life, look up, my friend, because we've got a better place to go to. We've got a celestial city of God. We have a home on the other shore. We have the saints of God that are waiting. And what a blessed thought there is that Jesus is coming back again one day. I read about Henry Morrison. After 40 years of serving God, he and his wife in Africa, Henry Morrison, his mission board said, "It's time for you to come home." And so they got him a ticket on a ship and they began to come home. And Henry Morrison and his wife said, I wonder if there'll be anybody after 40 years of being in Africa, I wonder if there'll be anybody there to greet us. The ship pulled into New York Harbor. All of a sudden they looked and there was a great band, a great crowd of people that gathered on the dock. And he said, "Oh, honey, they're here to welcome us home. They're here to celebrate. We've been in Africa for 40 years. But then all of a sudden, as the ship docked, the band started to play "Hail to the Chief." Off stepped Teddy Roosevelt from hunting one of those safari trips to Africa. And as he walked down that gangplank, the band went with him and the crowd went with him, and no one was standing there with Henry Morrison and his wife. They hailed a taxicab and the mission board had them a little apartment set aside, and they went to that apartment, and listen, Henry Morrison was discouraged. He went in there and he said to his wife, "It's just not right. It's not right. Here's a man been in Africa hunting animals and the crowd welcomes him. There's nobody. We've been serving God for 40 years. Nobody to welcome us." She said, "Honey, you know God's a good God and you've got to do business with the Lord. You'll not amount to anything until you get this thing straight with God." That went on for a few weeks, and finally one day his wife said, "Henry, you've got to settle this with the Lord." And so he went into the bedroom, got down on his knees, and just began to pour his heart out to God. And he said, "God, it's not fair. It's just not right. I've been over there serving you for 40 years and don't even get a welcome when I come home." After a little while, his wife said, the bedroom door opened and Henry Morrison came walking out with a smile on his face. He said, "I guess you got things right with the Lord." He said, "Honey, I got down on my knees and I began to pour my heart out to God. I cried like a baka." And he said, "I got down and I said, 'God, it's just not fair. Here it is, all this crowd of people that came to welcome President Teddy Roosevelt, and there wasn't anybody there to welcome us.' And all of a sudden I could almost hear over the battlements of heaven that God himself said, 'Henry, you're not home yet.'" You're not home yet. Oh, but thank God there is a homecoming. There's going to be a day. Oh, listen, my friend. There's going to be a day of rejoicing with the saints of God when heaven's door opens, when we breathe that last breath, when we preach that last message. Oh, what a homecoming there'll be. The Bible describes these old bodies that we are living in as a tabernacle. Listen to me. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:1, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, will dissolve, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Was it a week ago today, Brother Eric? A week ago today, my wife and I drove to Morganton to be a part of that celebration service for Eric's mama. One of the preachers, Brother Homer Murdoch, he said something that day that stuck with me. He used this verse and he said, talking about this tabernacle, "Brother Doug, you've been in the military." He's talking about a tent, just an old temporary place. Back some years ago, we used to enjoy tent camping. Didn't have no money, don't have no money now, but we used to do a little tent camping when the kids were little. We'd done some crazy stuff, Brother Joel. I had a 94 Dodge Caravan and with a car top carrier, and we'd load that thing up. I mean, with the tent, with the blow-up chairs, with the grill and everything up there, throwed it up there and drove all the way down to Emerald Isle. Now listen, we go down to the beach sometimes. So, y'all that are spiritual go down to the coast. Say amen. And if you're really right with God, you go down east. Say amen right there. We drove down there, piled that thing up, that little old minivan, got the thing, got down there late at night, unfolded it, put the tent out, put everything up, slept there and there that night, got up the next morning, packed it all up, put it up yonder and come home. Say amen right there. I never will forget, Brother Joe, we were down there one year and we'd set that tent up and had to blow up mattresses and you know how they are. Like Brother Homer said, you blow them up and then by the morning time you fill in every rock and crevice and cranny underneath you. And we had that, we had to blow up mattresses and the blow up chairs and we had all the camp stove and all that kind of good stuff. And then one little boy come running through the campground that night with a bicycle and he said, the storms are coming, 70 mile an hour winds are coming. I said, sure, right. We just set everything up. All of a sudden the clouds got dark and the rain started coming and we jumped inside that vehicle and my wife and I, we sat there in that tent, blowed up like a hot air balloon. We thought it was going to go out to sea there for a minute. It soaked everything inside of there. That was our last night of tent camping. My wife cried and she said, we're going to the hotel tonight. And guess what we did? We went to the hotel. Everything was soaked. Come back the next day. We done paid for the campground. We come back the next day, dried everything out, packed everything up. That was our last night of tent camping. But you know what I like, Brother Billy? I enjoyed that, but I sure did like to get home in that soft bed. I sure did like to go into the kitchen and turn the stove on. I sure did like to go over and turn the air conditioner on instead of some fan and trying to keep the mosquitoes away from you. And honey, I got news for you tonight, is that right now we're just in this old temporary tent, and it has some leaks, it has some holes, it has some deficiencies, but we're going to a home that our Lord has created, that our God has built. They'll not have to have any repairs. Mosquitoes won't fly in there. Hallelujah. There won't be any need of foundation to be sewered up. There won't be any kind of moth or rust or corruption. Thank God we're headed to the celestial city of God, and we've got a home on the other side. So when it gets tough, when it gets weary, when it gets hard, when it gets discouraging, you ought to thank God that you've got a celestial home in heaven. I believe old Job, he'd stomp around a little bit more if he could. And he said, I thank God. Number three tonight, listen, watch me now. I've been blessed. Now, Job didn't have a church, but you've got a church. Somebody help me out. Aren't you glad for the church tonight? Aren't you glad for the church? I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the people. I'm talking about the saints of God. I'm glad to be a part of the church. We ought to love the church. Jesus died for the church. Jesus is coming for the church. We ought to love the church today. I know what the statistics are saying. I've read those. Some people say, preacher, the church is going down. I read, Brother Billy, 1,700 pastors leave every month. I don't doubt that. Honey, I got news for you. Somebody put on Facebook not long ago, well, listen, I've been trying to preach for 47 years. April, Easter Monday, April 1972, Asheboro, North Carolina, at Camp Caraway, I walked forward and I gave my heart to Jesus to preach the gospel. I was saved in 1967. My daddy in Raleigh, North Carolina led me to Christ. I wanted to be an airline pilot. I wanted to make money. I wanted to fly the skies. But in April of 1972, God said, I want you. And put his hand upon me. Call me into ministry. I've been trying for 47 years to obey that call. 1700, somebody said, what's your advice? Listen, if you can do anything else besides preach and be happy, do it, because you're not called of God. But if you can, as Jeremiah said, is the fire shut up in my bones? If you can't do anything else, preach, my friend, in the good times, in the hard times, when they enjoy you, when they don't enjoy it, when the people flood the building, when they run from the building, preach the word of God. 1,700 preachers leave the pastor every month. 4 out of 10 pastors burn out within 10 years. 4,000 churches close each year while only 1,000 get started. This is startling statistics. 2.7 million church members fall into inactivity. In 1900, there were 27 churches per 10,000 people. In the year 2000, 11 churches per 10,000 people. And here's the clincher. Of the top three countries in the world where there are not professing Christians, China's number one, India's number two, America's number three, of people not professing to be Christians. Folk today say, Brother Joe, the church, she's going down. She's not what she used to be. You can't get people to come. Honey, I got good news for you. The church isn't going down. We're going up. One of these days, the trump of God's going to sound. The dead's going to be raised. And we're out of here. We ought to thank God for that. Number four, quickly tonight. I've been blessed. Look in verse number 3 tonight, chapter 29, verse 3. I've been blessed by the candle of the Lord. Sometimes I don't know which way to turn. The Bible tells me the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Psalm 37, 23. Listen, I believe this. There are no chances and no haphazardness. I believe in the sovereignty of God that he directs our path. Don't y'all believe that? Listen, if you don't, my friend, you're going to be so upset. I mean, listen, when things happen and things come your way, you've got to say this, my God knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Amen. And I'm glad, as as Job said, listen in verse 3, the candle shined upon my head and it was his light and walked through darkness. Sometimes there's going to be some darkness. There's going to be some dark days. Sometimes you'll not know what to do and when to do it and where to turn. But my friend, one thing you can count on, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, make Jesus known. All thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll do what? He'll direct your path. If you don't know what to do, just don't do anything. Wait on God. Then last of all, look in verse 5. Job sitting out there in verse 29, or chapter 29. And Job's thinking. And he said, I've been blessed with the caring friends and family. Well, I know three of his friends turned against him. But Job was thinking, look in verse 5. When the Almighty was yet with me, and when my children were round about me. Turn over to chapter 42, Brother Zane, you're here tonight. I got this. You preach one year, and this blessed my heart. I'm going to share it real quick. Look in chapter 42. I just preached on this last Sunday. Chapter 42, verse 16. After this lived Job. I'm not trying to change the word. Listen, I believe we could read it like this. After this, Job lived. After everything he'd been through. All the disappointments, all the trials, all the heartaches, all the bankruptcy, all his friends forsaking him, even his wife at one point turned against him, all that, Job kept on living. He didn't give up, Brother Doug. He didn't throw the towel in. He didn't walk away. He didn't resign. He kept going. He kept going. He kept going. Can I tell you something? When the trials of life come, when the heartaches of life come, keep going. Keep pressing. Keep looking up. Why? Because we've got a good God that loves us. We've got a God of compassion. We've got caring friends. Well, we've got a family that loves us. Look in chapter 42, verse 12. Well, the Bible said there in verse number 16, verse 17, so Job died being old and, can you all read that with me if you're there? And he what? And he was what? Full. What gave Job a full life? Well, I think if you go back to chapter 42, verse 12, you'll find he got his material blessings back. But then in verse 13, here's what I believe. God blessed him with seven more sons and three daughters. The Bible tells me that there in chapter 42, he got 10 more children. But not only that, but look in verse 16. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons and even four generations. What gave him such a full life? Just imagine with me, Father's Day is right around the corner. But imagine with me, old Job, they didn't have Father's Day back then, but let's just imagine. Old Job is now his late in life, and he's sitting there, and them 10 kids are coming by him. They said, Daddy, you sure are looking good. Daddy, tell us about that time when you was broke out from sores from head to foot. Daddy, tell us about that time. And then all of a sudden, then them little grandkids come by, and them great-grandkids come by. And they look up at him, and they say, Granddaddy, tell us about when you served the Lord. Tell us about those times when it was tough. And Job could reiterate and talk about all those blessings that God had done for him. You know, Brother Billy, if grandkids are so grand, I think I would have had them before I'd had children if I could have. But I believe what gave Job such a full life was them youngins coming up. Amen. Brother Billy mentioned just a minute ago. Probably the darkest day, Brother Joe. March the 29th, just a few weeks ago. My son had been on dialysis for 2.5 years. His kidneys had failed. Been a diabetic for 27 years of his 38 years on this earth. 27 of them he'd spent putting a needle in his arm, putting insulin in his body. 2.5 years ago, his kidneys failed and he went on dialysis, and it was a regular routine. I'd go by Tuesdays and Thursdays and take him to dialysis center, drop him off. Back in March, he got real sick, and we had to put him in Moses Cone Hospital, and they came to us, and they said, look, his body's just wore out. His heart's less than 25%, and we've called hospice in, palliative care in, and so it's just a matter of a few days. The doctor walked in that day and talked to my son, Jonathan. Jonathan said, well, how long do I have? And they said, maybe 2 weeks. I knew that wasn't going to be no 2 weeks. That was on a Tuesday. On Friday that week, my wife and I was at the hospital, and they come and God said, his breathing's changed. We went down to the room, and there he took a few more breaths. Brother Joey loved to fish. I loved to fish with him. And I told him, I said, son, next time I see you, I'll take you fishing in the river of life. Amen. My daughter was there. I've got two precious granddaughters. They were going to be here tonight, and they're sick. Ava Lee, 6 years old. Lily Grace is 20 months. A couple in the church was keeping them. I told Becca, I said, we'll go with you. We'll go down and tell Ava Lee that John went to be with Jesus. We got in my car, and Becca got in her car, and we drove down to the couple's house, and we got out, went inside, and we set them down, and Lily Grace is 20 months old, but Ava Lee's 6. And my daughter told her, John just went to be with Jesus. She cried a little bit. We got our things together, and we walked out to the car. As we was walking out to the car, my wife looked at her and said, Ava Lee, maybe Jesus will come, and we'll just all go up together. Brother Joe, 6 years old, she looked at my wife, and she said, but Nana, I won't go up. I don't have Jesus in my heart. I come around to the car, Brother Billy. She was sitting in the car, and I said, Ava Lee, do you understand who Jesus is? He's God's own son. Do you know what he did on the cross? He died for our sin. Ava Lee, would you like to ask Jesus to come in your heart? I would. I knelt beside the car and I took her and I said, Dear Lord Jesus. She prayed. First thing she did, she unbuckled and went running back in the house. She said, I just got saved. Amen. Time I got to church, Sunday organist was sitting here. I walked in and I said, let me tell you what happened. She said, you don't need to tell me. Ava Lee's didn't come running here. She's been telling everybody. Honey, that's a good sign. When somebody gets saved, they want to tell about Jesus. But let me tell you something. On the darkest day in my life, God had a ray of sunshine. Because on the darkest day in my life, when my son went into the heaven, oh, listen, glory to God, my 6-year-old granddaughter accepted Jesus. So remember, even though you may have some rough times, even though you have some tough times, we've got a loving God, a celestial city, Christian friends and family. Last of all, notice Job died being full of days. I can almost imagine. Eric, Brother Billy, we're not going to give no invitation. I do want us to sing a little bit. Could you come and sing one little? We're going to sing a little bit just before we end here. I believe this. Brother Zane may have said it. If he did, I give him credit for it. But on that last, it said Job died being full of days. I can imagine, Brother Doug, when Job got into paradise, when he walked into paradise, there's them 10 kids standing there. And they said, Daddy, it's so good to see you. The last time we seen you was when that house fell in on us. He said, boys and girls, let me tell you, oh, it's a blessing to see you. But let me tell you, there's some more coming. And there's some grandsons, and there's some grandkids, and there's some great ones that's coming on up. We're going to have a house full. Amen. Sing this with me if you know it. As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me.
There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine. Father, we thank you tonight. Even in the tough times, even in the discouraging times, even in those times of grief, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for Christian friends and family, for church folk that have put their arm around you and love you. Thank you, Lord, that we're headed to a celestial city of God. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We praise you, Jesus. May you get all the glory, honor, and praise. In your name we ask it.